A Wall Street giant is taking the idea of a virtual currency very, very seriously. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news the Wall Street powerhouse known as Goldman Sachs is investing heavily in Bitcoin. And why is a financial services titan going so indie by embracing a digital virtual currency? Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is here live with more. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, David.
So Bitcoin is used by people for virtuous purposes, but it's also used by crooks who want to launder money. What would Goldman see here in the virtual currency?
Right. Well, it's interesting that in its press release, David, Goldman didn't even mention Bitcoin by name. So clearly the bank's trying to keep some distance here. That said, Goldman's excited about the technology supporting Bitcoin, which effectively makes it easier and cheaper to move money around. There are already a few companies that are doing this sort of low cost for free money transfers like Venmo. So before this gets too far ahead, Goldman wants a catbird seat at the table as companies are trying to disrupt the world of consumer finance, an industry Goldman estimates is $1.2 trillion.
All right. So what kind of partnership are we specifically talking about?
Goldman and the Chinese investment firm IDG Capital Partners are investing $50 million into a company called Circle Internet Financial. As My Bank Tracker pointed out last month, among the 10 largest U.S. banks, money transfers range from $15 to $65. When Circle looks into the future, it sees a world where, quote, commerce flows freely across the planet instantly and with virtually no cost to users. Circle's founder said he wants people to think of people transferring money, whether it's a Bitcoin or more traditional currency, as easy as sending an email.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, thank you. Now let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. The dollar is down more today after the very weak economic growth figure for the U.S. yesterday. A euro costs $1.118, down 0.5%. The dollar is down to 118.9 Japanese yen. Chicagoland tonight becomes Draft Town, not 99-cent draft, but the NFL draft. Chicago officials are pleased to host the three-day fan festival. It's the first time since 1964 the NFL draft has been anywhere other than New York. Chicago won a bid to host it this time around, and the city is going big. But what's the payoff? Gigi Duban reports.
This year's NFL draft in Chicago has almost taken on a life of its own. There'll be football clinics for kids, a replica of an NFL locker room, and Buckingham Fountain will reflect team colors during the draft. Over the top?
I don't believe that the term over the top is something that could apply to the NFL, because effectively everything they do is over the top.
Todd Jewell teaches finance at Texas State. He says the payoff for Chicago is lots of buzz. The city won the bid, but it'll spend $3 to $4 million on this extravaganza.
So we have a term for that. It's called the winner's curse.
Robert Boddy teaches economics at Wake Forest College. He says even though the city promised not to spend public money on this, it will hit taxpayers one way or another.
Lighting up Buckingham Fountain. Who's paying for that?
The real winner, he says, is the NFL, especially if cities start bidding for the draft every year. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Word is Carly Fiorina, the former Hewlett-Packard boss, will launch a campaign for president, probably on Monday. And when might New Jersey Governor Chris Christie announce? He's not even said he's running, even though his public posture often has a candidate-like bearing. Which brings us to what is possibly a paradox. Marketplace regular and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan and ProPublica have been looking into why Governor Chris Christie, fiscal champion, runs a state that has had 9 credit rating downgrades during his tenure. Only Illinois has a lower credit rating. Mr. Sloan, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So there is this odd state of affairs in which New Jersey can be described as a fiscal mess still.
That is true.
And do you lay some of the blame at the foot of this governor?
Well, part of the blame is at the foot of the governor, but he inherited a whole bunch of financial toxic waste, and he claims to have cleaned it up, but he hasn't.
And you, along with Cesare Podkul of ProPublica, have been combing through some of the numbers here, and let's look at a couple of these things. First of all, Governor Christie likes to say he didn't raise taxes, but somehow some in some cases, lower-income New Jerseyans are paying more property taxes.
You see, what he did is he hasn't raised tax rates. The state has this bizarre system where it used to give a whole lot of money to lower-income people to offset the cost of their property taxes, and he's cut way back on that. There was also something called an earned income tax credit, which is a credit on the state income tax. It used to be 25% of the federal earned income tax credit, and now it's 20%. And technically, they aren't tax increases. But the people who have lost this benefit have a much higher percentage increase in their taxes than affluent people in New Jersey like you and me.
So are you describing a situation in which the Chris Christie administration is clever with numbers or overly clever with numbers?
You know, you decide that. I just put the numbers out. You figure out whether it's clever or overly clever.
Well, this is what voters will decide. But then I'm left with the question, do you think voters actually ever get into the nitty-gritty accounting?
No, of course not. You know, if you're an average person, you've got a life to live. You're not going to go immerse yourself in the finances of your state.
Cesare Podkul of ProPublica and our friend Alan Sloan of The Washington Post wrote the piece Behind Christie's Budget Claims, A More Controversial Legacy. Alan, thank you for this.
My pleasure, David.
And before we go, there's word that some tattoos interfere with the heart rate monitor built into the new Apple Watch. Any tattoo shaped like a heart with your ex's name on it sets the heart rate monitor aflutter. No, actually, it's some tattoos on the wrist bearing the watch can confuse the unit. What did your mother say about tattoos? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.